I do want to shout out some podcast love to Dolphiel. I never thought of eating would be so. Okay, I'm being silly. It's the week of September 12th, 2005. I'm Jeff.
And I'm Pat.
And you're listening to This and That with Jeff and Pat. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Jeff.
I can't remember how to podcast. It's been so long.
I can't either.
Well, you may have noticed from our little intro thing, we said the week of. We're not doing the weekend of anymore. We're changing up.
Changing up.
We still may podcast. We may record on the weekend, but you may never know that. Because we're going to spread out the production a little bit. Because I want my Sundays back, Pat.
You're so selfish, Jeff.
I'm selfish.
I want you to do the show on Sunday afternoons, and so that I can obsessively, compulsively click on the blog to see that you've posted the show.
She does that, too.
Have you posted it yet? When are you going to post it? When are you going to post it? When are you going to post it?
How is it? Is it good or is it really bad? So it'll probably come out. I'm not even going to promise. It'll be probably Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, but that's going to be the new schedule. And we're excited about that new schedule because we've got lots of stuff that new schedule allows us to do. Like what, Pat?
Like, I don't know.
I don't know either. I just thought I'd try to make it sound like it was a feature for you guys, but it's really just a selfish feature for us. Well, how was your last 2.5 weeks? It's been 2.5 weeks since we've been in this booth together.
I know. I hardly even know what happened. I know last Friday, big snafu, we were going to go see a movie, and I went to the wrong theater.
Yes. The funny thing is, I think it was about a month ago, we all decided to go to coffee, and you went to the wrong Starbucks.
Oh, I did, didn't I? Yes. Whoopsie. And I think we kind of have a dysfunctional group when it comes to cell phones.
Yes.
There's always somebody in our group that doesn't have a cell phone, doesn't have it, has it, but it's not turned on. Has it, its battery's dead or something like that.
But so, we called you incessantly and you did not have your cell phone
I
that
didn't
night.
Have my cell phone because I said, oh, they never bring their cell phone. And you had lost your cell phone.
Yes, I did. I was cell phone-less for about a week and a half.
So, and then the other thing I did on Sunday was I ventured into, I think it was a foreign land. I went to Frisco.
Frisco, Texas.
I've never
been
to
Frisco. Not San Francisco. Not a cool place like San Francisco. This is literally called Frisco.
You know, it's the more north I've gone in a long time, but I drove a couple of times up to Tulsa, so.
Now, be careful. We may have fans in Frisco.
And there's nothing wrong with Frisco. I just never been there before.
Right.
And, oh my God, I can't believe this. Here's what happened. I'm driving on the toll road, and I think I was contemplating something else. Lord knows what it was.
Contemplating suicide, Pat. It's okay. It really is.
I was deep in thought when all of a sudden I realized I was going to have to go through the toll plaza.
You don't have a toll tag?
No, I don't have a toll
okay.
tag.
Okay.
But by this time, I was going way too fast and I was too far in the toll lane.
Right.
And I had to go through it or cause an accident.
Nothing you can do.
But they're going to now find me.
They are?
Well, yes. They take pictures and then they send you a little nasty gram.
Well, you're going to have to update us because I'll bet they don't. I don't think they can possibly find everybody. In fact,
a coworker of mine, Kevin, he showed me his bill. They take pictures of your license plate.
Really?
Yes.
Because I have I was a week with a rental car. My car was in the shop. I think that those that read our blog would know that. And I forgot my toll tag.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I just forgot it. So I decided to not pay. Because if you pay, you have to sit in line. And I like using the toll tag line. Actually, I'm not being completely honest. I went back to the car rental place after like 2 days to get my toll tag back. But then I forgot always to use it. And at any rate, the point is I went through a bunch of times without paying anything. And I haven't got a bill yet.
Well, here's.
Am I expecting a bill then?
Well, they might not be able to catch you because
I was in a rental car.
You're not registered to that rental car.
Ha ha!
You can do that sort of thing with impunity.
Yes.
Do you feel good about it?
I feel great about it.
All right. Well, so now I just remembered that. But anyway, I was up in Frisco at a PetSmart there for about 4 hours with Shotgun at an adoption event.
Wow.
And I was very disappointed because my little baby dog didn't get that much interest.
Nobody wants Shotgun. Shotgun's the cutest, most adorably well-behaved dog I've ever seen.
Well, and then on Saturday, I ran a bunch of errands, and I had spoken with this one woman who had inquired about him through the agency. A Shotgun can be listed, it can be found on petfinder.com. His name is Gunner.
Gunner?
And, yes.
How did that come about?
I think the people I'm registered with thought that Shotgun sounded too rednecky. And might attract the wrong crowd.
Yeah, I want to shoot me some Shotgun.
So a woman got in touch with me and inquired about him. I talked to her about him, and we met at the dog park. And she thought he was cute, but was interested in some other dog instead.
Wow, that sucks. Does it feel like you're dating and you're being rejected?
Yes, it does. It's funny, too, because I do a lot of saying, oh, he's a really good dog. He's this and that, the other. And I feel like, I'm truly pimping out my dog.
He's really lovable.
He's really lovable. He's an adorable dog.
Sometimes you just have to wait for the right chemistry and the right person to come along.
Well, I think that probably is true. I remember when I got Belle, my other dog, and all I wanted was a half beagle dog because I grew up with a beagle dog.
Mm.
And the minute
Which
I saw
half,
her...
Which half, the front half or the back half?
The minute I saw her, I was like, yeah, I'm taking that dog. I didn't know that much about her. I think I got lucky because she doesn't really bark too much. She's gotten kind of barky lately. But...
Well, that's because, she's with Shotgun.
Yes. Anyway, so I'm not sure I have been doing a lot of interesting things. What about you?
Well, I've been to a couple of restaurants, a bunch of movies, and big things have been happening in my life lately.
Big things?
Big things.
Uh-huh.
Big thing. That's why I want my Sundays back.
Huh.
No, I met somebody special, right?
Yes.
And there you go.
So now
we'll talk more about it as time goes on. But her name is Shoko, and you listeners have probably heard that name before.
Hmm.
Because she's a listener.
She's a listener.
Do they have any rules against that, dating your listeners?
I don't know. We might have to go to the podcast alley and check out the bylines.
Maybe we should ask the moderators.
Oh, wait. You're a moderator.
Wait a minute. I say yes in my moderator position.
Well, I think the most interesting thing that you're doing in your new relationship is...
Is what?
Tangoing.
Yeah, it's true. We're taking tango lessons, and it's really fun. Actually, this guy that teaches tango is an engineer, Pat.
Uh-huh.
And he's teaching the class like an engineer. You'll appreciate this. So the first couple classes, first class and the first sort of outing... were these, you learn sort of how to do some real basic steps, like walking steps. You learn one step, then you learn another step, and then you learn a third step. None of it really makes sense, and none of it's that interesting,
mm-hmm.
although it's kind of fun to do anyways. So the third time we're all together, he teaches us how these all work together. It's like learning pieces of a problem. When he says other teachers teach you everything up front,
uh-huh.
because it's funner that way, uh-huh. right? But he says, then you don't get the basics. Because what tango is, it's a mixture. You take these like four or five basic things, and then all that you can do, all improv, all the combinations of these things to mm-hmm. do your tango dancing. Now, it's a little more complex than that, but it's a very engineering, analytical-oriented way of doing it. And I really appreciate that, being an engineering, analytical kind of guy.
And how would you say your dancing skills are?
Well, Shoko told me last night, because we had to dance with alternate partners.
Yes.
And she told me that I was the best.
Oh, my God.
That's something people say, though. I know. No, actually, I feel pretty good. I mean, there was a...
best I've ever had.
Yeah. No, I know. But she's just, you know, being nice to me. But he's going through some steps, and I got things pretty fast. And there's some other guys that didn't quite get it as fast. So.
I've seen you dance. I wouldn't have guessed. Now, you know, sometimes I think it would be fun to dance. I think I would be truly horrible at dancing. My dad tried to teach me how to two-step when I was a college-aged young woman. I couldn't do it.
Two-stepping, I can't say I've ever done it too, but... You know, this guy says, I mean, we spend a lot of time what they call walking, and you got to get your tango walk done. And he, and he said, guess what? It's no surprise. The people that can do this well are people that practice for more hours.
Yeah.
So, and I'm sure it's the same way with two-step. It's just a matter of practicing. Anybody can really do it.
It's like golf and tennis.
Yeah.
You got to practice.
Got to practice, like podcasting. You got to practice. In fact, in the 2.5 weeks Pat and I weren't podcasting, we practiced every day.
We did. The other thing I did this past weekend was watch the tennis.
The Russian women did pretty well, right?
Yes. The women's semifinal.
Say their names. I love their names.
Was it Anna Sharapova?
I love it.
And Elena Dementieva.
Dementia?
Dementieva. Elena. The semifinals matches were excellent. They were nail biters, exciting, really thrilling.
Let me see your nails.
The finals sucked. And in the men's...
You know, just a little side note. A lot of times that's the way the football playoffs work out. So I always make a point to watch the championship games in NFL because they're usually pretty good. And the Super Bowl is often disappointing.
Uh-huh.
Go figure.
Well, and then I also watched some of the men's final and... I had it TiVo'd.
Yeah.
And it ended before the match ended.
Oh, well. But it sounds
so
like
bummed.
You watched the better one. It sounds like the women's one was very good.
Yeah. Well, you know, I used to play tennis in high school, so I was a very active tennis player. I loved it, and so I always enjoy watching it. Although the U.S. Open has also another memory to me that it's kind of bums me out, and that is Martin and I broke up over the U.S. Open.
Over it? You mean...
Not over it,
you mean
no,
there
no.
was like, I want to watch it. No. I want to go watch it. No.
I'd break up with you. I'd gone to visit him in Charleston, and we were out at the beach, and I think it'd been like we were together for 3.5 years, and
yeah.
I finally said, are we getting married or not, man?
And
he said, not. And I was like, that's it. I was like, that's it.
He shrugged his shoulders and said, not? What the heck? Where are you coming from?
I want to go home. So we went back to his apartment, and I was going to take a flight back home. And we had to spend 5 hours in his apartment before my plane left.
Awkward.
And we watched the U.S. Open then.
Well, at least you had something to watch.
The thing I can never remember is like what year it was. I think it was 89.
Mm-hmm.
That's a long time ago.
You know, that reminds me, though. There was a girl probably about 5 or 6 years ago that I'd gone out just a handful of times. And I liked her all right. I didn't see great potential, but I wanted to keep working on it. But she broke up with me, right?
Who was this?
A girl named Amanda.
Oh.
Can't remember if you ever met her.
Uh-uh.
At any rate, I only went out with her probably 4 or 5 times, so it was no big deal. But she broke up with me when I came to her house, and we had dinner plans, right? And then she broke up with me, and then it's like she still wanted to go to dinner. So we went to dinner because I was hungry, but it was weird. I just should have left, you know? I mean, I wasn't that into her or anything, but...
Huh.
You should break up after dinner if you really want dinner.
Right. Break up after dinner. What's the point? You're thinking, you know, oh, having dinner with you, don't care anymore.
Don't really care anymore. I think I'll just burp and fart.
And maybe scratch a few privates?
Maybe scratch some privates. Maybe, in fact, that maybe that's what couples should do when they first start dating and they like each other. They should just artificially break up so they can really be themselves.
There you go.
Hey.
Dating advice
from the Jeffster. And you better listen, because I'm all full of that one.
Well, I also went to the library this weekend because...
I went to the library.
You did?
We went to the library and had martinis. The library bar in the Melrose. That's what you're talking about, right?
No. Oh. I'm talking about the Dallas Public Library.
Well, that's almost as much fun. Not.
I put that book, Blink... on hold at the library. It finally came in, so I had to go pick it up.
Oh.
And I go to the library, and one of the things I like to do is read all the magazines that I would never buy because, you know,
right.
I'm just not going to buy them.
Right.
So I can't remember if this was the Glamour magazine or Cosmo magazine. And it had an article in there, and I was very excited to read it, and I was waiting to the very end to read it. It was about sex in the 20s, 30s, and 40s.
Really?
Yes.
Is there sex in the 40s? I think we asked that question once before, and my evidence suggests no.
But other people have told me yes.
Really?
Yes. Well, huh. I wouldn't know if I had sex with anybody since I've been 40 who's been over 40. I don't think so.
Maybe that's the trick. Maybe there is sex after 40, but you just, both people can't be over 40.
Well, anyway, here's how it was set up, Jeff, is it said, you know, here's what sex is like when you're in 20s. And it said, you know, from the man's point, from the woman's point. So I
kind of like he said, she said.
Right. Of course, I didn't read it from the woman's point.
Okay.
I was just reading it from the man's point, I think.
Huh.
Yeah. I was reading it from the man's point.
Do tell.
So in the 20s, men, since they are, you know, just got out of college or whatever, maybe they didn't go to college, just high school, they haven't really achieved very much. So they don't, you know, they're still looking for, you know, how can I prove I'm a man and I'm making it? Well,
right.
They prove it by making it with women.
Oh.
So they
overcompensate, say, by lots of women and so forth.
They want to have a lot of sex.
Okay.
They want to think that they're really good at it.
All right.
It's more so to prove that they're desirable and that they can conquest and stuff like that. But, you know, it's really not that interesting.
So it's more about the conquest than it is.
Yes.
They're not really looking for relationships or
love or that sort of thing. No. I'm not saying it said that.
Okay.
I'm just saying that, you know, that's just one of the aspects of sex is that the major motivation is sort of reinforcement, self-reinforcement.
Okay.
In the 30s, it said that men now have other things happening in their life, and they've kind of proved that they can achieve stuff, and that now they're sort of interested in pleasing their woman. That's when you hear more men saying, oh, you know, it turns me on to see you happy, and I like your reactions to blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And
the emergence of the wimpy man, huh?
I like men in their 30s. And then the men in their 40s, I think it boils down to men in their 40s, they're not as good as they once were, but they're as good once as they ever were.
Right.
And now, you know, I don't know, just reading it, I'm probably going to get a lot of men all mad at me and say, Pat, you know, you're picky for being a woman your age. You know, but it made me say, I want to have sex with men who are 30s. I think maybe I might have had sex with a man in his 50s and...
When you were in your 40s?
Yes.
Oh, and how was that?
I think perhaps men in their 50s think sex is a spectator sport. And I'm not ready for a spectator sport.
Now we're going to get all kinds of nasty messages from men in their 50s. Well, I wanted to take a natural segue from that and say it's the beginning of the month.
Yay!
Not really, but it's the first show of
the new month for us. It's not the beginning of the month.
It's not even close.
No.
It's actually more like mid-month. We passed the September 11th anniversary already. But I did want to say, we do this once every month, say, hey, if you haven't voted for us yet, and a lot of you have, so very much appreciated, send us some love, and we're going to play for you right now a song that I wrote, I think it was 3 months ago, but I haven't played it since, about voting and podcasting love. Here we go. Love,
podcasting style, truer than the iPod to you. Love podcasting style, that's me and you. It's that time of the month again.
Seems to come so fast.
Spread some love to your favorite podcasters. But to just listen and
you tell all your friends.
So vote for those that you adore. Everybody now,
love, love, love.
Tell the world,
love, love, love.
Scream it out,
love, love, love.
Love, podcasting style, truer than the iPod to you. Love, podcasting style.
And don't forget to vote for all those podcasts that you listen to.
And that you love.
And that you love, because it's podcasting love. I do want to shout out some podcast love to Derek from Skepticality, one of the top independent podcasts out there. Derek has had a brain aneurysm last week, I guess it was, and prognosis is still unknown. He's hanging in there. He's a tough, tough guy. And so we're all pulling for him with a lot of podcasting love.
Now, I go to the Podcast Alley forums and I poke around on them sometimes. I don't write as much as most people, but I have read most of Derek's posts, and he's a terrific guy. And I was really sad to hear about his illness, and we are all crossing our fingers and hoping the best happens for him.
We really need him back in the podcasting community, that's for sure. So, not to be a downer, now let's go back up.
Yes, let's go back
up. Let's elevate this show to a higher place. A lot of things happened, Pat.
Yeah?
While we were gone.
What happened?
Look what happens when we're not on the job. You get Katrina.
Oh.
That's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Katrina. Well, I have some things I wanted to share.
Okay? About Katrina?
Some good things that came out of Katrina, which is really kind of difficult, I know. First of all, newscasters. There is a newscaster that I thought did very well, and there's a newscaster that I thought did very poorly.
Really?
The good one was, did you see anything by your love, Anderson Cooper?
Anderson Cooper. I heard about what he did.
You know, I saw him in a couple reports, and he actually did a guest thing for The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. And the more I see him, the more he's just the real deal. He's cool. He's kind of an everyman kind of guy, but he's so good.
He is good.
And the president of CBS said he is the anchor person of the future. Now, I don't think he meant that in the sense that he's going to be the main anchor for CNN. I think he meant it in the sense that that type of newscaster is what the future of news is going to be. Just a real guy.
Well, you know, one of the things I oftentimes feel frustrated about when I watch news anchors is it seems like you can tell when people are not really answering your question. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, the standard, if you get asked something you don't want to answer, answer a different question.
Right.
And a lot of the news anchors seem to have just sucked it up and said, okay, well, you know, he really didn't answer the question, but I'm just going to go on. And I think that there's a reason that happens. I think it happens because if you, you know, call whomever to task, then they don't call on you anymore.
Right.
You lose getting at your ability to ask a question. But that's not my style. I don't appreciate it when I ask somebody a question and they answer a different question. I just want to say, wait, you didn't answer my question.
Right.
And stop the crap.
Yeah.
Because crap doesn't help.
Yeah, no kidding. So
that's what I think he did. He said crap doesn't help.
Yeah.
You know, you guys are sitting there saying you did everything so good. Really?
He's calling it like he's seeing it, and he's such a believable good guy. So, Hall of Shame. You know who goes into Hall of Shame?
Who?
Geraldo.
Really?
There's a couple, you know, did you see him kind of helping victims out there? Okay, he was helping victims. Well, there were reports in two different situations where basically, in one, there was a report that he shoved other rescuers out of the way so that he could be in the in the picture. There was one shot where he was helping this old woman, right?
Uh-huh.
And I read on Salon.com that said he actually did that, made that poor woman who was needed, did need help, he made her do the same walk five times to get it right.
Oh, my God.
I mean,
that is bad.
This is really, really awful.
That's somebody who's forgotten how to be a human.
Forgotten how to be a human. He's just in it for the limelight. So I've also got another got a kind of contrast here about Katrina.
Yes.
I think the career of Aaron Neville has taken a huge leap because everywhere I go, I hear that Aaron Neville singing that song about New Orleans and flooding.
Really?
You know what song I'm talking about?
No, I don't know what song you're talking about.
Oh, I thought you'd have heard, recognized it. Louisiana, they're trying to wash us away. They're trying to wash us away. Louisiana.
No,
you haven't heard that?
Never.
I'm singing it like the guy who actually wrote the song, which was Randy Newman. But anyway, so they've played this song all over the place. So his career obviously is doing well because of the disaster. But another career is not doing so well because of the disaster. You know who that is?
Who?
Michael Jackson, the freak. Actually, I love Michael Jackson. I hate to diss him, but he's trying to put together this thing where they groups up with a lot of other pop stars and does a sort of We Are the World for Hurricane Katrina relief. He can't get anybody.
Well, I'm glad he can't get anybody. I mean, if I had a lot of money, I wouldn't give it to Michael Jackson. I wouldn't want to be affiliated with him.
I know.
Ick.
The other thing I thought was funny was all the stars going down to New Orleans and helping. The best one was John Travolta and Oprah Winfrey are down there. And the quote, I have to dig up the quote, but it was like, what I read, it said, they're coordinating relief efforts in New Orleans. And I thought, why? Why are show people, they don't have any experience in management of relief efforts? Why is this a desirable thing? It's great that they're donating money. It's great that they're helping out. But come on, management of coordination of complex activities?
Maybe they should talk to George Bush, and then they can get appointments at high ranks at FEMA.
Well, and they probably get medals, too.
That's crazy. Just sad. Actually, I saw that Oprah Winfrey show where she had some of those folks on there.
Yeah.
And I also, this one, she had, and I'm not making fun of this, it was touching to
Sounds
me.
Sounds like you are.
No, this one was touching to me, but okay. I don't know if you know who Nate Berkus is.
No, the name isn't familiar.
Yeah, he is a designer. He comes on to Oprah's show a lot and helps transform people's homes. And he does a great job.
Hmm.
Now, he had a boyfriend who coincidentally was in, what is the name of that place where they had the tsunami?
Indonesia?
Yeah. Well, he was like in Banda Aceh or, you know, not in Indonesia, I don't think.
I think it is.
Anyway, he was out there and he got swept away. I don't think they ever found him.
Wow.
So Nate goes down and, you know, he was there and saw what it looked like, what that tsunami whole disaster looked like. And he's kind of talking about what it looks like in New Orleans and everything. And this broke my heart because they showed this man who they had coaxed him to come out of his house and he brought his dog. He was 24 years old. His dog was 14 years old. He'd had him since he was 10. They were telling him that they needed to relocate him. They couldn't take his dog. And he was crying.
Wow.
And finally, Nate basically says, "That's it. I've had enough of this." And he says to the guy, you know, "I want you to get on that bus and I'm going to take your dog with me and I'm going to make sure you get him back." And the man was so joyful because he was taking his dog.
Well, let me tell you, this is kind of interesting. I was talking to my mother about this, and you know my mom. She's pretty analytical, matter-of-fact kind of woman. Even she said, "Jeff, these rescues have to include their pets." And she said the reason was because people are so close to their pets. That's why people stay. And, you know, that's the best way to get people out of their houses. It's like family to them. And she said any rescue effort has got to take that into account.
I think that's true, you know.
She's right.
River rolls all day, the river rolls all night. Got lost in the flood. Some people got away all right. River have busted through, clear down a Plaquemine. 6 feet of water in the streets of Evangeline. Louisiana, Louisiana. That time to wash us away. That time to wash us away. Louisiana.
When we left Southern Florida to go to the Panama Canal Zone, this was in the 70s, I think, my dad built a crate for our dog and shipped him out maybe 2 weeks before we left because he needed to be in quarantine for, I think, about maybe a month or 6 weeks, something like that.
Right.
So the dog leaves. We get there, and we're staying in base housing for a while, blah, blah, blah. Finally, we get to our more permanent location, and we start saying, you know, us kids are – we've been bugging, Dad, when are we going to see the dog? When are we going to see the dog? When are we going to see the dog? Finally – big family meeting. We sit down and my dad says, well, there's a reason that we haven't seen the dog. They lost him. I'm like, what? They lost him? They lost the dog. So, so I don't remember. I should have asked my mom about this story, my mom or dad, but I can't remember at what point we discovered that, you know, at what point my dad revealed the dog wasn't found.
Right.
But I think he encouraged me to write a letter to the president of Pan Am. I was 12 years old, and it basically said, hey, you lost our dog. You know, a dog is a member of our family, and it's, you know, we're hoping that you're going to find him. So they posted, oh, by the way, the dog we left out of Miami International Airport, they posted ads out there, and eventually they sent us a dog. We all go to the airport, and we, I mean, we go to the kennel to see our dog, not our dog. It was a beagle. When you called him his name, he wagged his tail. He looked like he was all happy to see us.
Maybe he was better than your
he
dog.
He wasn't our dog. So we send him back. I'm like, are you sure he's not your dog? Yeah, we're sure he's not our dog.
We're pretty sure, yeah.
So then they keep looking. They find another dog. And this time they said, why don't you tell us the name of somebody who knows what the dog looks like? So before we send it down, we verify that, in fact, it is your dog. So we had somebody on base go down there and look at it. It was our dog.
Really?
They sent him to us. And this time we went to the airport, and he was in, like, some kind of holding area that you couldn't see through, but it was, you know, a caged area.
Right.
And I think somebody called out his name, and he started barking. And he was a beagle, so he was like, woo, woo, woo. And we got our dog back.
Unbelievable. I'll bet that happens so rarely. But you had to go through a lot of work to get it back.
Yeah, and what happened is Dad built the cage. And we think that as they were loading him onto the plane, maybe one of the cargo guys, because he had my dad put his T-shirt in there so the dog would have something familiar. The guy wanted to shove it back in. Instead of just shoving it back in, he opened up the crate. And even though the dog had been slightly, tranquilized?
Right.
He ran away.
Yeah.
He ran, and he was, you know, in the airport.
Wow. On the tarmac, even.
Yes.
Wow.
So, you know, it was a miracle we got that dog back.
That is a miracle.
He lived to be 17.
Ah, he belonged back with you guys, and it happened.
I love that
dog.
He's a good dog. So I, you know, I definitely see how you got to be able to take your pets.
Yeah, yeah. Well, do pets like to eat?
Pets love to eat.
Speaking of eating, see, I am good with the segues tonight.
You are.
Speaking of eating, we have a Dave from Random Digressions. Dave Lobig has got his column today, and it's on eating.
Yummy, my favorite topic.
All right, take it away, Dave.
Eating is good. Nothing profound in that proclamation. It's a simple truth that is sometimes too true. Eating is a fundamental fact of life, part of cultural pride, and sometimes part of competition. Where would we be without eating? Hungry, for one, but we'd also miss out on one cool experience shared not just across the human race, but across the animal kingdom. We can't know what it's like to fly like a bird, wag like a dog, or squirm like a worm, but we sure know what it's like to be hungry and to fill our bellies. Eating is a social lubricant. Almost every gathering involves food, snacks, or drinks. It is something that can be shared even among strangers who have nothing in common. In refined circles, it saves you embarrassment by occupying your hands, which would otherwise do something wholly unrefined like picking your nose or scratching. Eating is fundamental. We've got to do it. It's like breathing, one of those basics of being alive. It's been said by somebody, maybe me, the one way to stop a baby from pooping so much is to stop feeding him. But it's been said by somebody else, probably my mother, that she considered that option, but then there wouldn't be anybody to make grandchildren. Eating is never boring. You eat a meal perhaps 900 times a year. By the time you're 20, you've eaten more than 18,000 times. You get full, but the next time around, a mere 4 or 5 hours later, you eat again, and it's not boring. Eating is simple. What could be simpler than peanut butter, the condiment of the gods? It has peanuts and it has salt. You put it on bread and you have nature's perfect food because you eat it and you're done. There's nothing to throw out. Eating is downright sublime, divine, and spiritually transcendent if you're really hungry and the food's really good. Now, I avoid meat and other dead animal dishes as much as possible, but I'd love a thick grilled burger, and I mean a big, dripping, elbows-on-the-table burger with all the fixings. It's a simple, sublime delight. Eating is a cultural banner, a point of pride for every nationality, culture, and region. Cities, households, and individuals have their own specialties. You know the guy I'm talking about. The one who cooks nothing all year but takes great pride in barbecuing on July 4th or smoking a turkey on Thanksgiving or making steak and eggs on New Year's morning. Eating is a major distraction. Have you ever been in the middle of a project or some playful event and had to stop to eat? If you wait long enough, the hunger distracts you completely and the group stops and eats together, which makes another point. It's best when you build up a good appetite and eat with family or friends. Eating is an art. Or more accurately, cooking is an art. Like many other enjoyments, there are some who study and practice it and work their craft as their life's work. Then again, there's McDonald's, proof that eating is also big business. Eating is proof of yin-yang. The Chinese concept that for one thing to exist, its complementary opposite must exist. For eating to be satisfying, there must be hunger. See, eating is even philosophical. Yep, eating is good. There's nothing profound in that. It's just a simple truth.
I never thought of eating as being so philosophical.
Eating is good.
Eating is good. Eating is fine. I want to take you away to dine.
Huh.
I'm fast. I just came up with that. I know. It pretty much sucked. Hey, wait a minute. That's the lyrics for my new song, and you didn't like it? All right. Well, it is September, as we said, and we like to say, what is September the month of?
Well, September is the month of my birthday.
Birthday and Danny's birthday.
Yes,
from
Danny.
Borderline had a birthday.
And my brother Joe had a birthday.
That's so cool.
Danny and Joe have a birthday on the same day, September
12th. No way.
12th.
Really?
September 12th.
And you're coming up at September 23rd.
Yep-er.
And we're all going to go out and party.
And now one of my favorite podcast listener, Tom.
Tom T. from Dallas.
He left a lovely birthday note to Danielle.
Yes, he did.
He said, all the best people are born in September. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking in the back of my head, wait a minute, I know somebody that's not a best person.
And then he said, too bad you couldn't wait, you know, you couldn't hold on to be a Libra. And I'm like, I'm
you
a Libra.
You are barely a Libra. You're a cusp kid, like me.
I'm a Libra man.
Yes, you are.
So, and Tom had a very sexy voice. I think I fell in love with him.
Well, there you go.
Don't tell his wife.
Don't tell his wife. I hope his wife doesn't listen. She'll never let him listen again.
She'll say, you can't listen to that slut.
That slut with the avatar?
With the big boobies?
Little
does she know.
Well, little does she know. And you did not wear your fake ones to the studio tonight,
no,
so I'm
I
a little
didn't.
Bit disappointed. I have nothing to look at.
Mm.
Nothing fun to look at, except your face in the mirror, which is not fun to look at. No, I'm just kidding. All right. September is the National Childhood Cancer Awareness Month.
Huh.
That just depresses me. It's Food Safety Month.
Well, there you have it. I hope some of our libertarian friends are listening to this so that they can make fun of us. Food safety!
Food safety!
Who cares about food safety?
Quit asking the government to safeguard your food. You'll eat the oysters that come out of the Gulf of Mexico after all that Lake Pontchartrain corpse-filled water.
If you're stupid enough to eat it, then you deserve to be dead.
Yes. It's Baby Safety Month. Ow, who needs baby safety? I say to hell with baby safety.
Yeah, I mean, you know, please.
There's too much baby safety in this country.
There really is. I mean, you'd think that it was about life or death.
All right. Who makes up that? We don't make this stuff up. Breakfast month. It's breakfast month. Okie dokie. I'm going to eat. I think I'll have... To celebrate, I'm going to have oatmeal for breakfast every day. Oh, wait a minute. That's what I do. Children's Eye Health and Safety Month. So still with the children's sort of baby theme of, you know, eye health. So get your kids to the eye doctor. I like these two, Classical Music Month and Piano Month.
Piano Month.
And it turns out, I checked out Piano Month a little bit further, and it turns out that a lot of like universities and schools and cultural centers have little events planned.
Uh-huh. So, really?
Yes.
So well, are you going to do anything special for Piano Month?
I don't know. Maybe I should come up with my next great piano piece. You know, I did write a classical piano piece.
Well, I think you should be coming up with a birthday song for me. Ha-ha.
I think we've done that. I only have
Pat turns 30.
Yeah, we might have to play that next week.
One more time.
You know,
again.
We played that on show one.
We did?
Yeah, show one.
Oh.
But maybe we'll have to get it off for next week.
Dust it off. I think so. It's actually one of my favorite songs.
It's a fun little song. That song is special to me because I wrote it the afternoon of your party, and I had literally had an electric guitar for 2 weeks. I did not know how to play it before it, and I just did the basic chords, but you know what? The song still sounds pretty good to me. And it's not because of great technique, but I was surprised, and so I'm proud of it. It's Library Card Month.
Yes!
And Read a New Book Month.
Yes!
So you're reading a new book,
I am.
You got your book from the library.
Yes, and I'm also going to sign up online in the library so I can renew on the internet and a bunch of other things on the internet.
Excellent. It's also Success in School Month.
Huh.
Which makes sense because it's at least Western countries are starting school now.
Hmm.
So next month is Failure in School Month. Actually, what's funny is I remember freshman year, I wonder if you had some people like this, that literally was like that. September, they'd come in, they weren't ready. And by October, they were gone.
They were gone. Jeff, do you still have those dreams where you discover at the end of the year you didn't drop a class and you have to take a final?
I don't have them as often now. No, but I have these dreams, yeah.
Like, I still have them.
It's crazy.
And eventually I'm like, wait a minute, I have a degree.
Right. I know. All right. It's also Health and Aging Month.
Ugh.
So a lot of health going on this month.
That's a depressing one.
Now, you really need this Health and Aging Month.
Yeah. They'll probably tell me about some vagina cream.
Well, speak of the devil, it is Vagina Cream Month. No, I'm kidding. It's Organic Harvest Month. So it's when we harvest our organic goods.
Uh-huh.
You know, I don't know why we'd harvest our organic goods at different times than we'd harvest our non-organic goods.
Do you
think
they'll ever have Frankenfood Month?
Frankenfood?
Yeah.
What's Frankenfood?
Those are those, like, genetically modified foods. And I heard on the radio, some guy came up with a way to take chicken dark meat and make it be white meat or something like that. Except, of course...
Oh, I think I heard something about that.
Of course, they make a slurry and they mold it. And I think if you don't do the right things, then it, you know, melts into a big glob.
A big glob of cancerous tissue.
Frankenfood.
Well, it's honey month.
Honey month.
Do you like honey?
I like honey.
Yeah, I don't really eat honey much in my daily life. Do you eat honey?
No, I never eat honey.
Yeah. How do you really eat honey?
I think people who have tea have honey.
Okay. Yep. That's probably the most common.
And maybe it's...
What's another common way?
I think it's a fun maybe food to spread on somebody you love and then lick off.
Yes. I've never done that, but it sounds fun. You couldn't really do it in clean sheets, though.
Who cares about sheets? They can be washed.
They can be washed. Can you wash honey? I would think that'd be really complex.
Do
you think it'd wash off?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
It's sewing month.
Sewing month, huh?
Yeah.
Sew.
And finally. Did I mention this? It's mushroom month.
You know, I like most foods, but I don't like raw mushrooms.
I don't like mushrooms at all. I always thought I was a freak. People think I'm a freak.
I like it when we get pizza and we get mushrooms on half of it, and Jeff says, "Well, you people that like mushrooms have to eat the ones with
mushrooms." I always do,
and
you spite me, Pat, because you always intentionally say, "Well, I'm going to eat the ones without the mushrooms."
I do. I eat the ones without the mushrooms.
Just because you know you're denying me pleasure.
Yes.
Do you enjoy denying me pleasure?
Yes.
Why do you enjoy that?
You know why.
I don't know why.
Yes, you do.
Why? I don't know why. Why? Because I deny you pleasure?
Sometimes.
Well, you probably deserve it.
There you go, huh?
All right. Well, that is all the month activities. Is there anything going on this month at 7-Eleven?
Oh, well, I did go into 7-Eleven, and I was quite pleased.
7-Eleven.
Thank heaven.
7-Eleven.
Thank heaven.
It's time for Pat 7-Eleven Update.
They've got some lovely mini bundt cakes.
Mini bundt. It's fun to say bundt.
Bundt. There's like a lemon one and a chocolate one, and they're very cute
looking.
How many? Oh, they're about this size, you know, maybe 3.5 inches tall and diameter of about 3 inches.
Well, that's a pretty good size,
yeah.
Really. I mean.
But something sad has happened, and that is for a while, their sandwiches had get free stuff. So they had a little coupon on it, and sometimes you got cheese nips, or I often won the Take 5 bar, and I don't like the Take 5 bar, so I wouldn't get it. I liked getting the gum, the Plenty Pack gum, because Plenty gum is the best gum to help you keep fresh breath.
Really?
Yes, and I know this because one of my favorite gay boyfriends told me about it, and they always know all the info.
They know the tricks.
But you don't eat a whole piece. Half a piece. All you need is half a piece.
See, you know, I just can't do gum anymore. I did gum when I was in high school and before that. Now I hate gum.
Well, I'm thinking.
It just grosses me out to have this.
No. You don't. Wrigley's Extra Plenty, you know, I'll show it to you.
Because it doesn't last. It's the problem. You know, two minutes later, you're still chewing this gross thing in your mouth.
That's because you have not kept up with gum technology.
Really?
Gum is better than it's ever been before.
Really?
This gum. Say you've drunk a cup of coffee and you kind of feel like you have a coffee breath.
I like coffee breath.
You chew this gum, your breath is fresh, baby.
Oh, what kind of gum is it?
Super fresh. I'll show it to you.
All right, good.
Wrigley's Plenty Pack, you know, wintergreen or something like that.
Cool.
Well, you know.
Maybe gum can come back into my life.
I think gum should come back into your life.
All right. Well, I think it's time for your. I love saying that. I know it's dorky, but I love saying it.
You say that every month. Every week.
Every week, even. And when we were practicing every day, I said it every day. Anyway, it's time for your Dallas Minute and my Dallas Minute. What's your Dallas Minute today? Do you have one?
I don't have one.
All right. Well, I wanted to talk about a couple of restaurants. The first one was one that you mentioned kind of briefly.
Really?
A couple weeks ago. It was called Nick and Sam's.
Ah, yes.
And we went there for an incredible dinner.
Mm.
And the reason I picked it, not only because of your review last time, but also if you get it, this is like a very fine, nice steak place. And in Dallas, actually, it's probably the same way in a lot of towns. A lot of the fine, nice steak places are very masculine. A lot of wood, sort of the boardroom kind of look. And Nick and Sam's is more of a kind of a hip uptown place.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, we had an incredible steak, incredible appetizers. Everything was incredible. The service was impeccable.
Really? What night did you go?
We went on Saturday night.
And was it packed?
Packed. And it was, I had to joke because as we were leaving, we were surrounded by just beautiful people.
Really?
And yes. And they went to get their cars, and I kind of told the valet, you know, wait a second, don't get mine in front of all these people.
You're kidding. Are you serious?
No, I didn't say that. But they were driving, you know, like Ferraris and things like that.
Wow.
It wasn't just Mercedes and BMWs. It was, and these people were just, you know, the men and the women were just good looking. And I thought, wow, I forget this about Dallas, that it's so superficial like this.
And what about the waitresses? Were they attractive and busty?
They were men.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Were they good looking?
I don't know.
Oh,
I can't
please.
Remember noticing.
Huh. All right, I'll ask Shoko.
I think they all had hygienic control.
All righty.
One flicked his boogers into our food, but
Jeff,
that was
that's
cool.
Gross.
No, it was good. I tipped him extra for that. All right, the other restaurant I wanted to mention was Teppo's.
Ah, Teppo's.
Real close to here.
I haven't been there in a
long
time.
We could walk there. Well, I went with Shoko again. Shoko's from Japan, and even she said the sushi is unbelievably good. Probably the best sushi in Dallas. You know, it was a spectacular meal as well. I always loved that place.
Did you drink sake?
I did not have sake. I'm not a big sake fan. I've got so much of it here at the house from all my trips to Japan. But if you're looking for good sushi in Dallas, I know this sounds like an oxymoron, but Teppo is the place to go. That's it.
Great.
That's my Dallas Minute. That's all I got, man.
Well, that's better than what I got, which is nada.
Which is no lot of nothing.
No, I'll make up one on the fly right now. My Dallas Minute is the Dallas Public Library. I love the Dallas Public Library. I do remember one time when I went down to the Dallas Public Library, the one downtown.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going up to the stairs and everything, and I see this policeman. And you know me, I say stupid things to strangers. So
yes,
I say
you do.
To him, see a lot of action in the library. And he said, a couple of rapes. I'm like, what? And he's
wow.
like, just kidding.
Wow.
You know, which I thought was kind of funny because, you know, there's some smart alecky woman. Like, see a lot of action in the library. Anyway, I do love the Dallas Library. It's very, very convenient.
Do you go to the one? You don't go to the one downtown, the big one.
No, I go to the one near my house.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's good. Good.
I love the library.
Very good. Well, have you noticed this dog pretty much barking all show?
Yes.
It's unbelievable. This is my neighbor's dog. I have no way of shutting him up except maybe getting a gun. And I would never do that, but it's kind of annoying. So hopefully it won't annoy you guys, but we don't really get that dog much during the week. Or, I'm sorry, during the weekend, and I don't know why.
Wow, that's just bad.
Because we're recording on a weeknight tonight. But anyways, live with the dog, sorry. I think that's the show. So, what do you want to say?
I just have to say that I'm happy to be back podcasting with you, Jeff. I've missed you.
I've missed you, too. We're podcasting, we're back, and we're mad.
I've missed our listeners. I enjoy the feedback that we get from our listeners.
Yeah, and I hope we didn't worry you guys too much. There's a little bit of burnout going on my end, but not bad.
No burnout on my end.
It's just going to leveling out. I'm doing things for the future to make this sustainable.
Now, what did happen to me for a while was that my email quit working. I was able to get email, but not send.
Yeah, I meant to mention something about that. God.
And I knew that was going to be an ordeal talking to somebody at the help desk to get that fixed. And I kept on postponing it because I was hoping that it would be, you know, magic and fix itself. And it didn't. I had to do some stuff. And I finally am able to get mail, although I haven't set up to get my this and that mail at the one that's working. So it's still semi-snafu'd.
Ah, okay. That explains a lot. So, because you have listeners emailing you, I've been told, that you need to get back to. Because they will consider you very rude.
Right.
So,
if you do want to get in touch with me, you can email me with your stories of your sexcapades after the age of 40 at pat@thisandthatpodcast.com.
And you can email me with anything. Jeff@thisandthatpodcast.com. And of course, the email jeffandpat@thisandthatpodcast.com comes to us both.
You know what we haven't been getting enough of?
Voicemail.
Nobody calls us.
No. Oh,
well,
there's your mom,
but that's about it.
No, even she doesn't call me.
She doesn't love you, Jeff. Ha ha.
I should mention, I didn't prepare this in the notes, but we did get a wonderful email from one of our listeners from New Orleans who was off-site. I think he was in Texas. And if you're out there, I didn't write the notes. I don't have your name in front of me, but we couldn't do the Skype thing. We wanted to do a quick interview, and we still might want to do that. I still want to do that. I just have been having logistical problems getting all that straightened away. So, but it was really nice to hear from you. Thank you, and I hope everything is okay. I know we do have listeners. I've noticed the logs before. We do have listeners. We've had listeners in New Orleans, so I just hope everybody's okay, you know. Our voicemail number is 206-202-TALK. That's 206-202-8255. And we look forward to catching up with you guys next week.
Yep. Have a great week, folks.
All right. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.